Welcome to another episode of The Greatest Pod, where we discuss and debate what makes something great. I'm Ron Swallow.
I'm Ed Greer, and today we are trying to devise the best X-Men lineup. There's been so many characters, so many mutants have come through those hallowed halls over on Gray Malkin Drive. We're going to talk about all the X-Men and their virtues and their different X-Factors, and we're going to try to figure out what is the optimal X-Men lineup. So, Ron, almost like a draft, but we're not like trying to play super hard. So I'll give you the first pick. Who would you want to start us off talking about as like a person that has to be in a super dope lineup?
Oh, man, it's just too hack, man. It's too hack. It's too hack.
Okay, so you're going to say Wolverine. Gotcha. So it's a great number one pick. So why are you drafting this speedy 5'3" slot back out of Canada State University, out of Winnipeg University.
despite him being seemingly new to the field, he's a veteran of many, many years. I love his story. I love his redemption arc. I love that the guy struggles with his anger, but then does his very, very best to be good all the time. And also, he's got claws, and he shreds shit, and he's fucking badass. And he gets shot in the head and pushes the bullet out like, fuck this bullet. I don't give a shit about this bullet. So you got a combination of all those things.
You know what I read just a little bit ago? I think it's Wolverine number 10. Don't quote me on it. I think it's Wolverine number 10, and it is Sabretooth beats his ass. It's the first. Basically, Logan had come home, and his wife, Silver Fox, had been murdered, and the scent of Creed was all over the place. So he goes into town, and he tracks down Creed, and he tries to have this knockdown, drag-out fight with him. And Creed beats his ass all the way up to the top of a mountain, basically. And then on the top of the mountain, there's like an avalanche that breaks their fight up or something. And then and Wolverine recounts that it was way back when I didn't have any claws or any adamantium bones. And I was like, they fucking totally retconned it to where he would have in that confrontation had stupid ass bone claws. It's just like, fuck that, man. It was so dope that he was a funky, fresh dude who could punch people real hard, run around, and not get hurt that easily. And then they grafted onto that bionic housings in his forearms to shoot out blades and these bones that made them unbreakable, so that he, back in the days, he could probably break his leg and be debilitated for a little while he healed. Yeah. And this, with unbreakable bones, he's like a Terminator machine, like literally.
Yeah, it's just flesh just grows right back onto his body. Like, it's fine. It's crazy. You know,
I do got to say, I loved Wolverine when he had to actually have skills, when he wasn't just running directly at 5,000 muzzle flares and they're just lighting his chest and his stomach up. He just keeps coming. That's not as fresh. I mean, unless he's in super berserker mode, supposedly. But in his regular guise, he's the best there is at what he does. He's sick as fuck at
taking out 25 dudes without like them even noticing he was there. Like, you know,
yeah, exactly.
He's a badass. And when they do it right, when you make a good Wolverine story, he is that badass who's at the same time, though, is struggling with making up for everything that he's done and his anger and all that good shit. So I don't know. I just love that character. He also says bub. And, you know, it's kind of cool.
So, let's see. I think this says a lot about our vision of what an X-Men team is. Because I think I'm going to pick. Oh, dude, I can't. Oh, shit.
Okay.
It's hard. It's too hard. Okay. I'm going to pick Storm. Because I think I would have her be my leader for my team.
Yeah.
I would have her be sort of the moral arbiter, all that bullshit. But getting down to brass tacks, she's really fucking powerful. And I just think that any team that I have full of mutants could be helped by her being able to use her powers to help people. I remember when she used to make individual members of the team fly with gusts of wind. So she would make Wolverine, she would have Wolverine flying at you at 100 miles an hour because he was on gale force winds, and then he would chop your face off. Yeah. Shit like that can happen when you have your when you have Storm on your team, and all, you know, obviously she's super dope and has a lot of history and has gone through a lot of challenges, both mental and physical. Can her powers taken away? She's got a lot of true grit, yada yada yada. But I just feel like she's to me, she's like the perfect examination of what the X-Men are supposed to be. They're supposed to be these people who take you in and help you become the dopest thing you can be. And once you become that, it's up to you whether you stay with them and hold up the ideals or not. And she has, yeah. You know what I mean? So she's just a perfect person to put on an X-Men roster to me.
100% agree. Look, we've talked about her on the last episode. Storm is one of the best characters in the X-Men, period. And she has to be the leader in the team as far as I'm concerned. Scott can get kick rocks. He's not on this team. Just allow it. Scott on my fucking X-Men team. Period.
But why, Ron? Scott is cool. He gets the ladies. He's got a visor.
He knows about the military or something.
Dude, I gotta say, the Joss Whedon rewrite of him is pretty fresh. Obviously, Whedon's in the doghouse of being sucky, but like when he gets his powers back, but he doesn't tell the people, and he knows how to like hold them back with his own eyes. He doesn't have to have the visor anymore. And he like just gives people a full nuclear blast of that shit. Pretty hardcore, man. A lot of power there. But okay, who's your next pick, fucker?
My next pick is very obvious. It's clearly gonna be Gambit. Just kidding. It's gonna be Gambit.
Well, you need
to our X-Men team,
dude. You need somebody to flip around and be annoying, you know. So I could certainly see him being that. Oh, we should have some sort of what you call it. I don't want to call them slots, but let's do it like almost like fantasy football. No, like fantasy football. We got starters. Yeah, let's do starters and B team. So okay, you got motherfucking Wolverine. God, let me get a better pen. I'm getting excited here because like I think we should do our teams at the end. We should have the Super Bowl. So all right.
Oh, okay. Okay,
so well, get out some so, shit. But I so can't, your team,
but I can't pick your characters either, though, right? Like,
we're picking the people that we think would be so we're picking our team. So you have Storm. I mean, I have Storm. You have Wolverine, and then you're picking who?
This is a hard one. I think I'm gonna go with Magic.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good pick. I think I would have picked that if you didn't pick it.
Yeah, Magic is super versatile, has insane survival skills, as we know, is also a cool mutant at the same time, and a sorceress, earned that sorcery. So, Magic is an excellent character, and I think she's going to be important to my team. I think I might even have her be like the co-leader. I don't know who I'm going to have leader yet, but I have an idea who I might have leader.
I think my second person I have to pick is going to pick the other Rasputin, Colossus. I'm picking Colossus.
I like it.
Colossus. Because talking about Ilyana, I really just love the fact that she and he have this. He first shows his powers in the comic books, defending her. She's about to get hit by a runaway tractor. He turns into a steel man to knock the tractor out of the way, and shows himself to be a mutant. And Professor X is there, and he's like, "Hey, Tavarish, let's go over to America." And he's like, "Yeah, buddy." And that's his like origin story, basically. So they're obviously linked by their heritage and shit. And they're also like the mutants that go wrong. Like she had to become basically the queen of hell to survive being in limbo. Those are the survival skills you're talking about. As a little girl, she gets dropped off basically in hell and learns sorcery to the point where she's the king of it. And then she gets rescued when she's like 13, 14, 15, something like that. And now she's in our world with hell powers that she got from being trapped in hell, basically, and a mutant power of teleportation that she can use as well. That is like star spanning, even. You know what I mean? She can go to outer space with the shit. So that's and she's got a soul sword, and the more she uses her eldritch magic, the more soul armor gets on her body, but the closer she gets to being the dark child. Like, so when she gets ultimate power, she'll lose her power, which is a thing that Claremont loved to put on chicks. Like, as soon as you get your ultimate power, you won't be shit and you'll be an asshole. Yeah, that was the only slightly regressive
thing. Yeah, all right, Claremont, get it together.
I'm telling you, her and Jean, if they reach their apotheosis, they become evil instantly. What's up with that? What up with that? So you picked the, so it's like, you got Wolverine, you got a magic. And I have talked about my pick of Colossus real quick. Colossus to me is part of that family because their dude Mikhail was an astronaut or a cosmonaut, they call it in Russia, whose powers manifested and something happened in space and he got all fucked up. Then, Colossus comes over here and ends up being down with Magneto for a minute because he got disillusioned with Charles Xavier's dream. You remember that shit? He basically became an acolyte for a little while. So he's always like soul searching and shit. And he's always like, and I remember when he was in the Morlock massacre, he had to kill that dude that was spinning around. He like grabbed this dude who's like a Tasmanian devil type guy. And he grabbed the guy by the neck and his body kept spinning and he broke his own neck. And fucking homeboy was like, fuck this guy. Cause he was like spinning and throwing blades at everybody and just chopping shit up like an M60. And Colossus was like, God damn, man. And it was like the first person he ever killed and shit. And it really weighed on his conscience and shit. And I remember a comic when they were supposed to be dead and they were in the outback. And basically Ilyana did a spell back at the Xavier Institute. The Baba Yaga had taken everybody over. And magic, due to her magic powers, was the only person who was still awake to be able to fight the Baba Yaga. And she did a spell to bring her brother back from the dead. And she didn't know that he wasn't really dead. You know what I mean? So a portal opened up, like in Spider-Man fucking No Way Home. And he walks through the portal and he helps her in this one-off adventure. And then she lets him go at the end and goes, well, you were a great sort of golem that approximated my brother. You were really close to him. And she's like, yeah, well, you know, blah, blah, I really am your brother, whatever the fuck, have a good time, bitch, or whatever. And it was just like a really touching story of her not quite being able to believe that she had actually talked and been with her brother, but they actually had. And, and it was just, like beautiful. It's just beautiful shit that was going on. And again, Colossus really shows a lot of heart in comics, dude. In those old ass ones where he's like fighting the Juggernaut and getting his ass whooped and shit, there was so much showing of heart. So I just love all that shit. And the Steel Dude, when you see it drawn by Art Adams or you see it drawn by Mark Silvestri or Byrne, Byrne does basically the definitive version of it. But I like Art Adams and Silvestri pretty much equally well. He just looks so cool. This might be my only pick where I love his heart, but he also looks so cool.
All right. Well, this is a hard one. You know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm going with Kitty Pryde.
All right. In my garage, Kitty Pryde.
Yeah, she's a fun character. Plus, she's got a dragon.
I don't know, man. You might have to draft Lockheed separately.
I don't think that is the case.
You might have to draft
Lockheed. They come together, my friend.
So because you got Wolverine, you got Jubilee too, huh?
Kitty Pryde's such a great character and is super smart. I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, Kitty also led a series of X-Men. For at least a little bit of a run. It might have been...
Oh, Excalibur.
Yes, Excalibur. That's what it was. Yeah. And so, I don't know. I would love... I think she's a great character. Plus, the Wolverine and Kitty Pryde combo will be real great because they've worked together so well so many times that they would be able to, like, seamlessly spring into action.
Seamlessly spring into action.
Yeah, that's right. Sometimes I can use alliteration, my friend.
Okay, so I love that pick. I think I have to go with this one. Is rough because I don't want to overdose on a certain sort of person. You know what I mean? Yeah. I have to have my girls, and I have to have people who can fly because I don't like teams that are ground bound. So I'm picking Rogue with this pick. I think, and you know, anybody who listened to the last episode knew that like part of me trying to keep that train of moving was talking about fucking Rogue because like she's just as interesting as any damn body. And if we're talking about being just kind of like a low level Marvel Supergirl, you know, she flies around, she's got strength and stuff. And also obviously the vulnerabilities we talked about with her not being able to really connect with too many people other than her shitty bow, Remy LeBeau. A lot of pathos behind her character and the fact that she came from villainy, you know, being used and abused by Mystique. And Mystique basically being her mom, you know, it's like you don't know it's abuse. Like when your mom loves you, but also takes you to go shooting when you're five and all the targets are like people the family doesn't like and shit like that. And you start to figure out like this love is not necessary. This love is love, but it's also bad. So she's like dealt with a lot of that shit going forward. And then she's trying to give her love to people, but she ends up taking their powers because she can't, you know, and just, I don't know. And they made her kind of, to borrow an old word, sort of a slattern in the early part of her career. Like she used to kiss everybody. She could have just took her glove off and touched them, but she would always kiss them because there was something intimate about that or something. And she's gone through like weird, you know, different phases in her characterization, but everything always comes back to somebody who, due to their experiences, makes a great X-Man. Because and makes a great teammate because she can really kick some fucking ass when she has the proper powers, when she's not doing a bunch of weird shit. She's really good on a team of being able to like touch everybody and get all their powers and go whoop ass, you know, as a super X-Man.
Yeah, it's just great pick. I don't know how I'm gonna get around that in the Super Bowl situation, but that's why my next pick is gonna have to be Emma Frost.
Ah, oh, dude, I knew it was coming down. I knew it was
baby. It has to be. I will admit that I'm going to have to figure out some flying character because I agree. You got to have somebody who can fly. I think the only way I could ever combat someone like Rogue is with some brain powers, telepathy, also being able to turn into diamonds. Dope.
Yeah, see, and she's pretty tough for being able to fight Colossus and stuff. You know what I mean? She's not gonna win, but she could survive it.
She could get hit a couple times and not get destroyed. So there is,
yeah, and then turn into a whatever, and then make him think he's a chicken.
Now, what number of X-Men are we?
I don't know. Don't teams usually have like seven, and then they will have reserves?
Yeah, I think so.
So I guess with seven. We'll do seven and like two or three reserves, and that'll be fine. It'll be like, we're basically doing fantasy football, so I guess we could do 11. And there's more than enough characters for each of us to pick 11. But yeah, seven or eight starters, and then like four backup people. So okay, you have Wolverine, Magic, that's two, Kitty Pryde, that's three, Emma Frost, that's four. I have Storm, Colossus, that's two. Rogue, that's three. And fourth, I think I'm going to have to pick Jolton Jean Grey.
I like it. It's a good pick. I don't know. I don't know if, you know, there's sometimes when you say when a team has to be like in order for a team to be part of, in order for an X-Men team to be an X-Men team, sometimes it kind of feels like you got to have Jean Grey. Like, I don't know if there should be an X-Men team that doesn't have Jean Grey.
Well, I mean, it's just really hard with her because I think a lot of people falter in her characterization because they tie her up too much with the tragedy of the Phoenix Force and the just Scott this and Scott that of it all. It's just like she was trying hard to be a good student of Xavier's, but he knew that, or rather she knew that there was more shit out there, and she went and she got trapped up in it, and she got, you know, cloned basically by some weird space force. And the fact that she's somebody that a weird Space Force would like glom onto, because, you know, usually Universal Space Forces that do all this fresh shit, they come and imbue you with something. But in like the Captain Universe powers, right? They just go around the universe and they'll jump on a guy. And if that guy is really strong, then he'll like, if they jumped on Spider-Man and he was able to lift like 500 tons, because it makes you 50 times stronger than you already were, and he could lift 10 tons. So he, all of a sudden he was like stupid powerful. And so for a regular person, that would make you like a one man army type person as far as strength, and you'd be able to fly and you'd have cosmic ray powers. So basically this weird Phoenix Force jumps on her and she's already like an Omega level mutant with great telekinesis. I'm talking about like maybe the best telekinesis in the entire Marvel universe and overwhelming telepathic ability. It's just, she's the ultimate dual threat in regards to fucking fools up. And I think she's the perfect foil for somebody like Emma. Plus they could fight over, they used to both fuck Scott. Fuck my man, bitch. When I was dead, you tried to fuck my man and you was in his head while we was together in the bed. They had a psychic affair, according to the Grant Morrison comics. They were like, they were basically having sex in rooms together in the mindscape that Emma Frost made. And they were able to do, and Emma Frost was powerful enough to like hide it from everybody, including, I think, a Jean that was alive at the time. And then obviously they got to and they got to, started fucking in the physical realm once she was dead again. Your Emma Frost is a mean one, Mr. Grinch. All right, who's your pick?
You know what? I'm gonna go for a weird one, I think. I'm gonna go with Multiple Man.
Yeah, that's a pretty good pick.
Yeah, I think he's super useful. And you know, I would in theory I would have had him going out and getting all of the information in the world so that he's like a jack of all trades for everything, so that when all, and then getting all of his people back into him so that once he's there, he knows everything. And then he's basically the leader at that point. That's what I would have him do.
No, I think that is absolutely an excellent, excellent pick. So you picked a Multiple Man. You know what I gotta do, man?
Okay. What is it?
I gotta do it.
Uh-oh.
I gotta put Magneto on my team, man.
Wait, what?
He's definitely an X-Man. He's been an X-Man for a bunch of years. He's an X-Man right now. He was an X-Man in the fucking 80s.
You're right.
He had that off-the-shoulder Vera Wang costume he had on.
That's right. I remember
that, that was like purple and shit. So don't give me no shit. And I think...
Don't give me no shit.
Because I'd rather that than shitty Remy LeBeau, who can go eat a dick in hell. He's never going to be on any one of my X-Men teams. So, but yeah, Magneto is super great. And he's also there to keep my X-Men team from being too concerned with what humans think about anything. Like, this team doesn't capitulate. It's got Storm and Magneto as basically in leadership positions. And it's just like, You don't get to tell us what to do. You don't get to run shit over here. Then we run Barter Town. And I just think I need that sort of and I don't care about what power level his actual powers are at. I'd like him to be, if I was picking this team like they used to pick, like Immortus picked a team of Avengers, and he picked them from all different eras of the Avengers. So there was 80s characters, 70s characters, 2000s characters all mixed up on a team to fight this ancient evil. If I was doing something like that, I would pick Magneto at his lowest, when he was like, I think right before he got his body changed out. I'd maybe pick that one. He was like, his powers were faltering, his body was like dying and shit. I'd pick that fucking Magneto to be on my team. A dying old man Magneto trying to impart the last of his wisdom to the next generation of X team. Ooh. Sign me up for that shit. So, you know, I'm not worried about his magnetism powers or like trying to defeat you in the Super Bowl of like him beating your ass because he's got these super mega level powers. I want his steely resolve on the team.
I like it.
Steely. Get it? Because it's magnetic. All right. Hit me, baby.
Well, this one was a pretty easy one because I knew that I had to pick a character that, while technically doesn't fly, adds movement for my whole team. And that is Iceman. Bam!
All right, I'm gonna put down Iceman.
Also, Omega level.
Badass. He's super Omega level. He can fucking Frozen. Freeze up a bunch of shit, man. He's very, very fucking powerful.
Yeah, it's a great character. And like I said, he would help with movement and quips. He's the best at quips, I would say, in the X-Men teams for the most part. Man, so many quips on my team. You got Wolverine, Pride. Yeah,
Emma Frost is a big one.
Emma Frost, too. Yeah, man, I got a lot of good quips on my team. I don't know if I'm going to win this Super Bowl, but I'll tell you what. It's going to be funny while I do it.
Dude, but I think my team is a humorless mess. Rogue and Jean Grey are the only people who can hang out with each other. Fucking Magneto acting like an ass. Man, yeah, I gotta get some levity on my team, so you know what I'm gonna grab up? My man, Kurt Wagner, the fucking Nightcrawler. I'm gonna grab him up. Because I love his swashbuckling style. I love the fact that him as a teleporter and an agile character, the times that I'm gonna have to infiltrate and do some shit. And he's definitely gonna be somebody that I gotta match up against, like Shadow Cat and other people. Like if he can like teleport up on her, you know, before she can change her shit, you know, change to intangible, you know, shit like that. And to fight her because she's got ninja abilities, you know what I mean? So his swashbuckling and teleportation abilities, and you got a teleporter in and magic. So I gotta fucking compensate for that shit too. So like, yeah, he's gonna be working some duty in this fight.
I like it.
And he's a fun guy. Last things last, he's a fucking fun guy as far as his characterization. They used to make him kind of be funny, cowardly sometimes, and they wanted to like pump up other X-Men. Then he got to be funny, like, I don't give a fuck about danger because like I'm so agile and I can teleport away that like I'm a real daredevil, you know. They kind of played that part up. And then when you look at the evil versions of him are very powerful and can like fuck dudes up. Like when Wolverine went bad for a while and had a teleporter, he ruined the Marvel Universe. Wolverine with the teleporter and no other extra powers fucked the Marvel Universe up for like months and months as a giant. And I think he could be like that if he gave himself over to fucking dudes up. He could be slicing some necks. That whole scene from the X-Men movie, X-Men 2, the opening scene, that's like the least of what he could actually do if we set him loose on motherfuckers.
That's true. So I guess this is my last one, right? For our starting squad.
Yeah. Cause you have, again, we're going to recap. We got Wolverine. You got Magic for number two pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got Kitty Pryde, number three pick. You got Emma Frost, number four pick. You got Multiple Man, number five pick. You got Iceman, number six pick. And your seventh pick is?
Oh, man. All right, it's Legion. No, I'm just kidding. That's not fair. You can't choose Legion. Nobody's allowed to choose Legion.
Well, plus, you can't rely on that motherfucker to have a good fight with you. He's fucking spin off on his own head, doing a bunch of weird shit.
Yeah, you know what? I think... Does Sunfire? Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Sunfire.
All right. He's very powerful to blasts, and he's very fast. Fly. Yeah, and he's flying. He's very fast up there. He's like a daredevil up there.
Although I got to say, there's a problem I have with my team, and that's that I don't have any weird-looking people.
Oh, yeah. My last pick is due to the fact it isn't even about looking weird or whatever, but it is about – I think this character gets short shrift and almost all conceptions of the team because they don't let him be – enough of the ninja that I want him to be, and they don't let him actually invent anything that's offensive and hardcore. And I think for those reasons, I want to rescue my man Beast. I want to rescue him from this place of like, he can make anything. He can make all kind of ill weapons for them to use. I would want the X-Men to have a technological and a mutant power advantage every time they go into battle. Like the ones that have little utility belts and shit, those would have technological inventions from the Beast in them, or different things that could help them or boost their powers, or just have different shit he could help the team with. You know what I mean? If I was in control of that shit, because honestly, all he does is sit in some lab and make some shit and be like, yeah, this shit is dope. It's a nano poly carbon fiber. And you never find out about it ever again. It never does anything. because they're just trying to make him seem smart. Like, I want his smartness to be applied to the team. You know what I mean? Like, and the better their quality of life with his smartness. You know what I mean? So yeah. And plus he's super fresh in combat. I think I got a pretty, overall, a pretty smart team. Fucking Beast is the last pick for the first round for our starters. So how are you feeling about your team right now before we take a look at our, our alternates that we have to pick? So we've got to pick about three of those. So again, to recap, you have Wolverine, you have Magic, Ilyana Rasputin, you have Kitty Pryde, her best friend. So you have a lot of team chemistry going. That's pretty good. You have Emma Frost. You have Multiple Man with a lot of his, identities coming back with a lot of skills. You have Iceman for quips and jazz and also a little bit of locomotion. And the era I love of Iceman when Walt Simonson and Louise Simonson were trying to make the original X-Men more powerful because seemed really weak and shitty compared to the new X-Men that had come out. Like Beast looked like he just looked like Spider, lower level than Spider-Man or Nightcrawler at jumping around, basically, and with big hands and big feet, and that's it. And then Iceman just sort of was like made big icicles and shit. They made Iceman so fucking powerful that he had to get a belt made that regulated his powers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I love that shit. And Sunfire. Sunfire is a pretty peculiar pick, but I kind of like it because he's got a basic elemental power that can be used like so offensively, and his flight and speed are really good for specific maneuvers and shit. Like he's very like a more driven Johnny Storm, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So so what do you think your team still needs?
I think I need more flight. Don't you think?
I mean, you definitely have powerful teleporter.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I don't know. I think my team's pretty great. It maybe needs a specific leader because I kind of put Multiple Man into that leading position. Maybe I need someone who's specifically a leader or someone who can like help out as a leader or something like that. Because, I guess technically Wolverine has led this or that, but we don't generally count Wolverine as a leader, right? So
I think we should. You know what I mean? I mean, because he's been on this earth for so fucking long, and it feels like we should respect the fact that like he's been doing this shit for literally ever, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think that, I'm pretty happy with that team. Like, I think I got good chemistry. We got Wolverine ready to run into the face of bullets over and over again and just get shredded, not care, and then stab people, right? That's really cool. Then we got Emma Frost to, like, have those people who were shooting bullets at Wolverine start, like, putting their guns down and squawking like chickens, right? We got that. So then Wolverine has a little time to heal up. Then we got Iceman who freezes all those people, you know, like, here's ice. You're going to slip. It's going to be bad. Ha ha. Like, gotcha. Right. Like, just like that. But who else? We got Multiple Man who like went out and is like, my Multiple Man at this time, he is like limitless. He has every bit of information that he could possibly use at his hands. He knows every secret. He knows so much stuff. And he's like seeing the patterns in a battle and is just like telling people to go to each direction but knowing that like he also has to allow enough freedom for his guys to do their own thing at the same time, right? And then Sunfire, just like lighting shit on fire.
Okay, so your subsequent three spots will be filled by who? Giving the how perfect your team is.
Oh,
because in football, there's always times that your guys are going to get knocked the fuck out, and there need to be people to pop up in there.
So, I think I got a couple ideas. So. My first pick, though, is going to just be a direct replacement that's maybe even cooler, and that's X-23.
Okay, that is very good. That's a very interesting. Good pick. All right, so X-23 as your Wolverine sub in. That's excellent. Yeah, and she's got so much to prove. So she would, when she comes in off the bench, she'd be really ready to fuck some shit up.
Yep.
Okay, I think I have to pick somebody that would help me ground the team with a sense of humor and also a sense of good feelings and probability. A person who could be an infiltrator and throw knives and kick all types of ass. Mm. But I think their name is Longshot, baby. Ooh. I'm going to put Longshot on my team because obviously I was just thinking about his powers, which are subtle manipulation of probability fields that manifest as good luck. And he can do like all types of flips. So his musculature is stronger than a person's and his bones are lighter. So he's that much more agile in a fight and fast. And he's super skilled coming from Mojo World. He's like a veteran of a billion performances. So he's like Dick Grayson, basically. He's like a super other dimensional Dick Grayson with good luck powers that throws knives and is very stealthy and badass. So yeah, I think Homeboy is my first off the bench pick. Longshot.
Nice. I like it.
I just gonna say I can have a nice stealth team.
You definitely have a great stealth team. I only have one stealth character. But this one's not going to help my stealth at all. But I still think it's a great character to have in any situation, literally any situation, and that's Darwin.
Oh, nice, nice. I almost picked him with my last pick, so that's a fucking great pick.
Yeah, I mean, what a great character power. And I do wish we would see more of Darwin. I wish they would do like a lot more interesting stuff and give him a little more of a backstory and all that good stuff, because it's such an interesting character. He's basically the evolution of evolution. Like everything that he needs to have happen in a situation to survive is the thing that happens. So if you've got a telepath trying to attack, he's got a way to block telepathy now. Boom. Done. You got fire. Okay. Well, it looks like he's fireproof. Ice. Oh, cold doesn't bother him. You know, like enjoy trying to fucking beat Darwin. I mean, obviously he probably has to have like some time to get all that done and all that stuff, but with a bunch of team members around him as he adjusts to things, I think that's a pretty dope character to pick.
Absolutely. So again, in the supplemental draft, you have drafted X-23 and Darwin. I have drafted Longshot. So who shall be in the next spot? Oh, man. This one's probably the toughest pick that I have because it determines what kind of team I think we should be. Because I'm thinking we have a lot of powerhouses and we have a lot of stealth. So, like, what's in between? What's the in-between game? People who – do I need more defensive characters? Do I need a little bit more of a certain sort of offense? I don't know. Do I need a little bit of a slickness? I think I got slick people.
You do.
It's really – So I think I'm going to have to pick somebody that can keep us. I'm going to use one of my slots on somebody that can keep us all on an even keel.
Okay.
And can help to direct the action, even though in this particular team, he's not in a leadership position. And his name is Professor fucking X.
Oh, nice.
His name is Professor X.
Well, Jesus, of course. I didn't even think about that. I didn't even think of him as an X-Men. He's the leader of the X. He's the actual X-Men.
Well, you know, and if we want to keep him off the table, I do have a backup pick because I do think it is a little bit overwhelming to have all of that mental ability on one team. So I would say my other choice, honestly, though, do you know about Phantom X?
Yes. With his Phantom little ball thing.
He has like a ship that he flies around in or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not even really counting that necessarily. He's got like super agility. He's very, very smart. He has like fucking nanos shit in his blood. He's got two or three brains in his body. You know what I mean? He's just the type of weird motherfucker that I can drop behind enemy lines or do shit. So forget those other people. That's who I'm going with. Phantom X. Because I think Phantom X is the only person I can have that can, might be able to outthink all of the shit that Darwin is doing.
Yeah, that's pretty great, dude. I like that. That's a fantastic pick. And you know what I'm missing from my team is a lot of silliness and fun. And so I'm going with Dazzler.
Dazzler's awesome. I almost picked her because she could go with my boy. Longshot.
I actually think she'd be really fun. And she's so cool and distracting. I think that she would make like a problem for everybody.
She's also very powerful because there's a lot of noise and battle, and she uses noise to make light. So
yeah, she's more badass than people think she is too. She's an ass kicker on top of that, because there have been many versions of Dazzler, my friends, and many of them are great. So I'm going with Dazzler.
I mean, Dazzler really kicks fucking ass, dude. Like, honestly.
Yeah.
She does. And I drafted Longshot, Phantom X. Wait, so I only drafted two supplementary players? I still have to draft the last one? I don't know how many other... Because, like, I really want to pick Monet St. Croix, but it's just, like, it's overkill. She's, like, super fucking stupid powerful. And also, she's not technically an X-Man, so I can't do it. She got kicked off.
I guess that's true.
Although everybody is a mutant. Everybody counts as X-Men because the X-Men run Mutant Town. And
I think we're also running on the have they been an X-Men before type of thing, since this is a fantasy draft.
Yeah, that's true. I still think I might go with a character that...
I'll tell you what. Why don't you pick that character, and then I'll pick Legion, and those two can fucking face off all by themselves while the rest of our teams fight each other.
You can't pick Legion. You had your chance to pick Legion. You didn't pick
him. I know.
So, fucking Banshee. No, I was just joking. I'm not picking Banshee. He sucks.
He does kind of suck.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm actually fucking... I'm conflicted between feral groundbound characters or energy based characters. Like, I think I need another energy person on my team that does energy manipulation or different shit like that. I just think there's somebody. Bishop? I was thinking about Bishop. I was thinking hard about Bishop. I was thinking hard about also. There's only a few tough guys. There's like two super tough people, and the other people are more like mentally tough rather than physically tough, you know? So I might need to get a little tougher. So I think to solve all of those problems, I might have to pick.
I think it's pretty clear that Deadpool is your pick.
You know, he almost made it. Deadpool almost made it. Bishop's almost making it. I just can't reconcile myself with. I have two such reactive characters. You know what I mean? Like they react. They have because, like, if you want to
absorb energy to be useful.
Right. And I just think if you want to do the strict origins of Rogue, I might have to fucking have that, because she doesn't just fly around all the time. She does that because she had absorbed Carol Danvers' powers. But there are certain continuities, certain times in the timeline where they've made her have to go back to just absorbing whoever's round's power. You know what I mean? I think of Rogue as a flight person and a Supergirl character, but maybe she's not even. So I'm just thinking, given all of those factors, I have to pick somebody, and you know I like flying, so I'm going to go with the indestructible. You know what? I think I'm gonna go with fucking Cannonball, dude.
You are. It's a great pick.
Because he's like stupid indestructible, and if Rogue touches him, she can get indestructible flying powers, and she is like an expert at flying. You know what I mean? Like, she's better than him at flying.
Controlled. Yeah, yeah.
So she could be like a better Cannonball on your team flying around. Oh man, that'd be fucking hardcore. So yeah, yeah. I think Sam Guthrie, there's something about the kid. I want him to be with my team. I want him to grow under our care and shit. I like him being a youthful. I didn't have enough youth on the team either.
Yeah. I almost picked Forge.
I almost picked him too. But you know what I did? I didn't want there to be any I didn't want Storm to be distracted by that bullshit. Like all the old bygones and shit from him. So that's why I didn't pick him. I wanted my Storm to have a focused, clear head, since she's basically the leader.
Reasonable. Yeah. I think it would have been great with my character because he would have been like multiple with my team, because multiple man would have been like, we need this built, and Forge would have been like, I can do that and build a bunch of shit. So I don't know, but I'm still happy with the team I got. And I mean, Wolverine, we mentioned some fun teams.
Yeah. Wolverine leading your team is not bad at all. No, dude. That's fucking excellent.
I mean, he's pretty much like Invincible.
But see, that's the thing. I think,
but that's not really true.
If we're going on a Super Bowl concept, as we round out here, the only things I can say against your team, honestly, is that if you are led by Wolverine, there is this thing of like people who are fucking infallible and dope not being able to quite imbue that into their like Michael Jordan with the Wizards, right? He was older and wiser and better at basketball, frankly, than all those dudes. Even in the Wizards era, he was scoring 55 points and shit like that. Not every game, but sporadically, he was scoring as much as he ever had. But he couldn't, like, lead those guys. He wasn't good enough. They weren't good enough to him. They weren't ever able to reach his standards. There's some saying about, like, it's kind of the dumbest thing you can do to imbue your standards on other people. Obviously, if they're part of your organization or you made a business or something and you're hiring people, you can do that. But if you're working with people who can be however the fuck they want to be and were hired to be that on a certain what level, you're the one who has to adapt your leadership style to them.
And you know? He is not great at that. Wolverine, for a guy who heals and has survived a bazillion years, is not great with the change.
So what kind of tag team maneuvers can you see yourself doing? You have Kitty Pryde, Emma Frost and stuff. I love the multiple man angle of it.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying. It's like I feel like multiple man's going to come up with like a bazillion plans and then implement them. I think you've got Dazzler distracting everybody with – oh, wait. Does she count because she's not part of my main team? Maybe she's just like showing up. Maybe
I think you can count all your people. Either way, they're just like they're more they're the second line of defense, but they could be in the battle. Because I definitely want to get my boy Cannonball out there, baby.
Well, see, and Cannonball's the biggest one of the bigger problems, because like one of my big things is going to be Iceman putting ice everywhere, just. Tons of walls, distracting Storm with like covering her in ice and getting, you know, ice in the way of her all the time. I mean, lightning's going to be hitting those giant ice walls, but nothing's really going to be happening through the ice. You know, that's the thing. It's like when you got Iceman on your team, you got a lot of shit you can be doing. And, you know, you basically could get like, you could basically trap everybody. Because so you use the White Queen's powers. Terrible name, by the way, White Queen. I don't think we should call her that. Emma Frost. She's using her psychic powers to make people think that they're doing something, and then they're just getting igloed into ice.
that's really good. I think I'd have to get. I think Jean Grey and people like that would have to head off like the two psychics. I hate when they say psychics. The two fucking telepaths. Yes. Fighting each other is like a pretty big stalemate in the battle. I don't think
Jean Grey. Let's be real. Jean Grey always beats Emma Frost.
I think Emma Frost is like, I think Emma Frost though is like Clubber Lang of this shit. Like she's just waiting for Marvel Girl to slip up. You know what I mean? And I think hey, today might be her day. But I think as far as all these ice walls and shit, man, I think my girl Rogue and Cannonball are just going to be busting through all that shit faster than they can make them. You know what I'm saying? Just like, just flying all around.
That's one of my big problems is like, while I've got Sunfire and a couple of really powerful like energy users, I don't have someone who could really counteract like Colossus and Cannonball, I don't think. I mean,
yeah, there's a problem.
Ilyana. Ilyana just be opening portals to hell.
Dude, I mean, dropping, I think what would be interesting as a maneuver is her like basically dropping Colossus out of the battle into hell because she knows that like he's covered. This is the nerdiest shit ever, but he's covered in iron basically, and iron fucks with demons. Yeah. So like he could survive it, but she could be able to get him out of the fight by teleporting him into limbo.
Yeah, that's probably one of the first things she would do is just like, well, we got to get him out of the fight. I don't know why he's fighting me this time in this terrible situation. I'm gonna assume this is one of those great comic book situations where normal people who would be teammates have been tricked into fighting each other in some way.
They're being probably manipulated by an evil Professor X from another dimension. There you go.
Ooh, I like that. So
there you go. They've been told that each other is their worst enemy and all that kind of shit. So my greatest fear is like Wolverine and if I can't have my Colossus basically punch your Wolverine into outer fucking space, if I can't have that happen because Ilyana has dropped him into another fucking dimension, then I think that your boys, your ninja team, goes roughshod on my dudes for a while until like Nightcrawler, Longshot, and Beast counteract what they're doing. Because I think the thing about Beast is I trust him to know enough about his teammates to be able to have I think when Longshot throws something at Kitty Pryde and she goes intangible, she realizes that the thing that he threw at her was a thing that the Beast made that makes her be solid. And then they could have a good old fashioned ninja fight. You know what I mean? Yep. And you know, may the best person win, but at least it's fair. You know, and I might even try to put, I might even have like Beast and Longshot take out Kitty Pryde, because once she's out of there, that's a lot of smartness taken off of your team and intangibility shit to be able to, you know, fuck with any technology that I have on my team. I don't really have that much, but the Beast, her Beast and X-23, or rather Beast and Longshot taking out Kitty Pryde and X-23, that's like a battle to the death, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To get those chess pieces off the board, you know what I mean? But then Darwin, yeah, I think Darwin's a big deal, dude. If we're talking about people off your back bench, Darwin's a big deal. Only thing I'll say is I think encasing Darwin in metal and throwing him hella far away is something that Magneto could do. Because it's not a matter of you adapting to anything. You're literally encased in miles of metal, basically, that homeboy could grab up. You're encased in it, and you're thrown far away.
You can take Wolverine X-23, encase him in Darwin, encase him around Darwin, and throw all of them into outer space.
Well, after Wolverine fucks up a lot of people on my team, including stabbing up Longshot and Beast and shit like that, my needle will have to do. Like, after he stabs up Longshot and Beast, I think Nightcrawler would have to help to end that battle. But Magneto would throw everybody into space.
This is where we have Ilyana helping too, because we get Ilyana to go and teleport right next to Magneto and take his helmet off so that Emma Frost can get in there, start fucking up that brain.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think my only response to that is I'd have my man Nightcrawler like go over and stab her or something like teleport while she's doing while she's just wrapped up in what she's doing. I would have him be able diamond. To like but you know like even Emma Frost or magic, I think once Magic's teleportation power is out of business, I think we're in business as far as like all my flyers and yeah. the fact that your feral characters have been thrown into the moon and shit like that by Magneto. And I'll even give you that Magneto can get taken out after that Emma Frost maneuver. Yeah. I think Emma Frost doing that shit. And then Magneto gets taken out, but then Magic gets taken out by Homeboy so that Jean Grey and Emma Frost can still have a battle to see who's going to win. I think it's a matter of getting somebody over to one of those telepaths to end the whole thing.
Yeah. And I when it comes to the battle of telepaths, as much as I do love Emma Frost, I gotta go with Jean Grey. I think Jean Grey's gonna win this. I think your team is just a tiny bit better, and I don't like it, Ed Greer.
Well, you know what? I think we have. Did we take out Iceman? Because I think Phantom X could go over and fuck with his shit.
Yeah,
I think Phantom X being able to cast illusions and shit. If there's any part of your team that is immobilized for any amount of time. By a Phantom X illusion, because like that's technically two mentalist power people that I would have on my team. Although he can cast illusions, but he can't necessarily fuck with your mind and make you think something. So you'd have to cast a very good illusion on Bobby to have him ice up the wrong thing, and then be able to get taken out by either Phantom X or Cannonball or any of these type of guys.
Yeah,
I would think like Cannonball or somebody would be necessary.
Yeah, absolutely. And with Iceman, though, the key is don't leave him last. If you leave him last and he's like, okay, well, I'm last. I got a desperation. Take care of this. Mm-hmm. Good luck. Because he's just going to freeze the entire fucking world. and you're all fucked.
I think what wins it is the fact that we haven't talked at all about what Storm would do, honestly, beyond like her shooting lightning at Ice, which I don't even know if she would even fucking try to do that. I think she puts me over because I think even if Jean Grey gets taken out by something, one of her last blows, I think even if Iceman is last, is to fucking control Sunfire and have him go Nova inside of Iceman, basically.
Oh, you know shit. What I mean?
That's dope. So let's be honest,
Storm as a leader is the better leader. She's the best leader in the X-Men, period. And I think that's what would actually put you over, is that Storm leading the whole situation. She would be sending all these people out to do those things at the same time that she fucking put a hurricane and hurled Bobby into like the ocean somewhere.
Yeah, he makes his own Arctic fault.
It's rolled into a volcano and has to barely stay alive by freezing the volcano, you know?
Oh, that's ill. Yeah, so dropping Iceman in the volcano. He's like, God damn, I just barely made it out of that shit. Yeah, that's funny, dude. But yeah, I think we made for a nice battle, and I think it could go either way if you take out certain people early.
But,
you know what I mean?
But then like, here's the twist. As they're starting to get taken out, Jean Grey notices something off about this whole situation. It feels like Professor X. But it isn't her Professor X. What's happening? And then she goes off on her own little thing, splitting her psychic powers, and realizes somebody's manipulating the whole situation. And then, secretly, she figures out how to get to where that person is. She sends in Iceman. She sends in Kitty Pryde. And then while Iceman is freezing up the whole situation so that evil Professor X, and then he has Magneto's helmet on, by the way.
Because he's from a mirror universe where he took...
even better. No. Ileana shoots down... gives Kitty Pryde the helmet. Kitty Pryde shows up invisible. The helmet's still invisible. So no one knows where she is, including evil Professor X. And then she just puts her hand through his chest and materializes and explodes his heart.
Using her ancient ninja training. And see, there you go.
And then they hug each other and say, I'm so sorry, guys.
It's bad when brother fights brother. It's bad when X-Man fights X-Man. But I think mm-hmm. we've crafted a nice scenario where in the end, they can all go home and know that it was their power as a team that saved them in the end. Thank you guys for going on this wild flight of fancy with us, drafting these X-Men and trying to come up on the fly with a story about why they would be fighting each other. I think that was pretty fun, Ron.
Yeah, I mean, what a blast this has been. And if you guys had a good time, why not leave us a review mm-hmm. on whatever you listen to, huh? Just a 5-star review saying we're awesome, and go ahead and click subscribe so that you get us in your feed every single Monday or Tuesday when you go to work.
Oh, and check this out. I think now is the time when we should read a review. And you know, guys, one of the best ways to interact with us is to leave us a nice 5-star review. We'll read it on the air like I'm about to do right now. See if you can outdo this review by The Fifster. I love it. Ed and Ron are incredibly insightful. They make me want to listen to a podcast about a subject I don't care about in the slightest. They're great. So that's high praise, and we do thank you, The Fifster, for telling us about that. So if you wanna tell us how great we are or how much we suck, jump on in there and rate it five stars, or else we won't read it. But if you rate it 5 stars and then tell us how much we suck, that'd be the greatest comedy bit ever. So do that. Either way, do your fucking thing and make sure you let your voice be known, and we will read your comments on this here broadcast.
Hell yeah. You also can join our Patreon. It's real easy. Patreon.com/thegreatestpod. And if you join our Patreon, you will get a way deeper look into how our brains work.
You guys are awesome for taking this journey with us. And thank you for listening to another uncanny episode of The Greatest.